A scan of the news may suggest that there's plenty to be spooked about these days, even without Halloween dishing its brew of ghosts, goblins, and witches.
Scary viruses, terrorist insurgencies, airplane crashes can put us on alert, but how much of what makes us scared is based in real fear, and how much of it is psychology?
For example, fears about Ebola have reached mass proportions in the U.S. According to a recent Washington Post ABC News poll, 2/3 of Americans are worried about a widespread Ebola outbreak. Some people say the media and politicians are stoking fear-bola by making alarmist statements about the disease.
With us now is Olga Hazan. She's a staff writer at The Atlantic. She wrote an article in The Atlantic today called The Psychology of Irrational Fears. Olga, thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
So Ebola, it's a real thing. It's kind of a scary disease. But is our fear, our worry about it, out of proportion here in the U.S.?
Well, it is a scary disease, but, I mean, it doesn't pose quite as big of a threat as, say, the flu does or, you know, any number of other things, car accidents, for example, that are far more likely to hurt us. And so part of this is just that it's a very unfamiliar thing. It's not something we've had here before this year. And things that are unfamiliar or seem kind of foreign tend to be scarier to us than things that are more familiar.
And what is the psychology behind that, that the unfamiliar but remote risk is more powerful than the one we face maybe every day, like a flu or a car crash?
Right. Well, so I think part of it is just like kind of an inability to understand odd ratios, right? So if, let's say, you know that there's a very small chance of getting Ebola, people may focus on, you know, what if I'm that one person who does accidentally sit next to the person on the subway who has Ebola, and then I'll get it too. And that's how they get to be, you know, afraid to leave their house and things like that. And then, you know, just in general, it's something where there's a lot of misinformation out there, and you still have people saying, what if, you know, it gets, you know, to be air transmissible, and what if it changes in some way and becomes more contagious? So that kind of thing can really spread and make us more afraid.
Who do you see as spreading some of that misinformation of overhyping the fear?
Well, there's just been a couple of examples. I mean, I've been kind of in and out watching some of these Ebola hearings, and there's a few lawmakers who have said things that are not quite true. Like Rand Paul said that if someone has Ebola at a cocktail party, they're contagious and you can catch it from them, which of course is only true if they're symptomatic, in which case they probably wouldn't be at a cocktail party. You know, and there's been several kind of calls to close the border because immigrants are bringing Ebola in with them. But of course, people in Mexico don't have Ebola. You know, there's just a lot of different statements out there that are a little bit far-fetched.
Well, some people are saying, okay, yes, it's remote risk, but how about better safe than sorry? Let's take this super seriously, err on the side of caution, and so on. What is the problem with that?
I mean, the problem with it is that when we, you know, sometimes when we kind of are overly afraid of something, it actually can increase the risk of something bad happening. So an example of that is like parks tend to get more dangerous when people avoid them out of fear because, you know, the empty park will encourage criminals to kind of move in. So in the case of Ebola, for example, we've had the example of the travel ban or the quarantine, which experts say would only hurt the volunteer efforts in West Africa because you couldn't get personnel and supplies over there as easily.
Now, you mentioned in your piece a phrase I hadn't heard before, instructional fear acquisition. If we hear something should be scary, over time we'll find it scary, whether or not we did initially. Can you talk a little more about that?
Sure. So this is a sort of this theory that, you know, we kind of learn our fears from people around us. So if you are a child and you see your mom, you know, freak out because she sees a lizard, you might start to develop a fear of lizards, even though lizards are not necessarily harmful to you. And actually this could go back as far as, you know, being from when you're a fetus and you kind of, you know, learn kind of from your mom in that way. And then also newborns can learn fear through the odor of their mothers, from the kind of odors that they give off when they're distressed. And so that's like one way that we kind of learn to be afraid of things.
And so looking at the media and this idea of fear acquisition, even if all the media coverage was perfectly responsible and even keeled and so on, is there something about the sheer quantity of it by covering it a lot that might lead to this kind of fear acquisition?
Well, it can sort of, it can sort of spread among people. So as people get more anxious, anxiety tends to kind of spread. So this is what's called mass psychogenic illness, where people kind of avoid things like gluten or vaccines or windmills because other people do. So it can have sort of like a wall-to-wall effect where suddenly everyone's worried about Ebola, so you become worried about it too. And the fact that it's here now and the fact that it's in, there's been cases in our hospitals, he was traveling in our subway, that too can kind of, heighten the kind of fear of this and make it kind of feel more scary to people.
You touched a little bit on hypochondria too, and you mentioned it just a bit earlier. Do we see a lot of cases so far of people worried, do I have Ebola, even though they haven't been anywhere near somebody who's had it?
Well, I haven't read specific kind of examples of hypochondria in that way, but there has been some interesting hypochondria in kind of the public sphere. So one example that I found was a school board in North Carolina recently asked their assistant principal to work from home for 21 days after she got back from South Africa on a mission trip. And of course, South Africa is very far from West Africa, where the current outbreak is centered. So it's that kind of thing where, obviously the parents were upset, they pushed back, and they asked them to have, this person work from home so as not to expose the children, even though there was virtually no risk.
You also compare fear of Ebola in the news a lot with, common and recurring fears we hear about shark attacks, even though last year I think you wrote that the U.S. shark fatality total was zero. Did I read that right?
Right. So the statistic I found was that there hasn't been a shark attack death in the U.S. since 2012. But actually, 30,000 people at least die in car accidents every year. It's just kind of, but which are you, kind of more worried about if you go to the beach and hear that there might be sharks in the area, or, getting in your car and driving? So it's just another one of those examples of how something being unfamiliar or kind of, being associated with a scary idea tends to make it more threatening, even though it's actually not.
Do you think there's value in trying to understand how we get our fears wrong, or at least out of proportion, and be aware of our inability to assess risk, and that might help us assess it better down the road?
Yeah, I think especially when it comes to public policy discussions, when you're talking about travel bans or mandatory quarantines, you do have a lot of psychology that goes into those, right? I mean, a lot of these hearings and these discussions are driven by fear. And if we try to understand, is this overblown? Are we not recognizing the actual risk? Are we kind of acting more on our emotions than on what would actually happen? It can lead to bad policy outcomes, and that can actually make, the thing that is scary, which is Ebola in West Africa, even scarier.
Olga, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
That's Olga Hazan. She is a staff writer at The Atlantic. She wrote a piece on our irrational fear and how it relates to our reaction to Ebola.